Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the Max Jones experience. Max Jones? Mac Jones experience. Yep. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Very excited, my co-host is, to watch Mac Jones take the field with Brock Purdy now dealing with turf toe, which is so painful. He's not the only injured 49er, but yeah, this is feeling a lot like Jimmy Garoppolo with Brock Purdy, by the way, getting hurt a lot, not being available. Now, Brock doesn't miss a lot of games, but he deals with a lot of injuries, Pearl. You know, can the 49ers win with Mac Jones is probably the first question. I think the second one, are the San Francisco maybe regretting that Brock Purdy contract that they gave him in the offseason, the 5 years, $265 million to the tune of $53 million a year?
Well, first, can they win with Mac Jones? Absolutely. I mean, what are they? I'm seeing between three and four points against the Saints. Saints are bad. Yeah. Saints defense is pretty good, but the Saints offense is limited. So I think they can win. Do I think it's going to be pretty? Absolutely not. Week one was hideous.
Right. But week one, you just want to escape, right? Isn't that kind of the feeling for all teams?
I guess so. But the Niners offense looked particularly bad. You know, Kyle Shanahan, we talk about the quarterback. Kyle Shanahan also has an amazing run game. The run game looked like hot garbage. Christian McCaffrey actually just ran in the line and got destroyed pretty much every time. Averaged 3.1 yards per carry. What does Christian McCaffrey do that? So Mac Jones has basically, he's going out there with no weapons. George Kittle's gone. There's no Brandon Ayuk yet. We're not really getting Juwan Jennings. I guess they're bringing in Kendrick Bourne. He's not going to be full speed. So this could be a low-scoring, ugly game. I am a little bit feeling robbed in advance. We're not getting the full Mac Jones experience.
Oh, no.
Because he doesn't
the
have any
full Mac.
He doesn't have any weapons around him. So I think the Niners are going to be super conservative. We're not. Remember when in New England, Bill Belichick had Mac Jones throw four times in the month?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yes. I would expect a similar philosophy with this one. They're not going to really let Mac Jones uncork it. They're not going to let McCorkle Jones uncork it. So we're not going to see the full Mac Jones experiment. But I got to be honest, you can focus on Brock Purdy and all that and his contract. I really want to see this draft story for 2021 play out. And I can't believe you're not with me, Maggie.
I am.
It is so interesting.
I guess so. You know, and it looks like we're going to get, and this is unfortunate, I'm not, yeah, this is not a positive, but it looks like we're going to get a couple weeks of Mac Jones. That's the reports now from Adam Schefter and then some other people in the Bay Area like Grant Cohn and some of the other guys who are around the team every day. 2 weeks, we think, no doubt, and could be more than that. Here, let's hear Kyle Shanahan, Manny, can we? Says Brock Purdy unlikely to play this week and explains where the injury, which they're now speculating is turf toe, sprained toe, where it happened.
I think it's a long shot.
Is it possible that Purdy's injury could be a multi-week thing?
That's possible.
And that's the toe more so than the shoulder?
Yes.
Did someone step on his foot in the pocket? Do you know how the toe injury happened?
Yeah, I think it happened scrambling. I think when Love tackled him by the sideline. I believe it happened.
Yeah, Julian Love. So the safety for the Seahawks. So here's where my concern. Maybe let's put Mac Jones just to the side for a second because you are playing the Saints. This is a very easy schedule. Maybe get a little of a reprieve here. It's not like you're walking into a buzzsaw with the Rams or something and all of a sudden Mac Jones gets thrown to the Wolves. Although the Saints defense is not bad. But this is where I start to get a little worried. I mentioned before, starting to look a little like Jimmy Garoppolo maybe with Brock Purdy, right? And what ultimately doomed Garoppolo with the 49ers? Yeah, he threw picks, but he got hurt. He wasn't available, and Brock Purdy came and took his job, essentially. And
well, that's exactly what happened.
What else happened? How did Brock Purdy get on the field?
Trey Lance was the starter.
Yes.
And then Jimmy G got on the field and was awesome.
And then what happened?
He got hurt.
Exactly.
Then Brock Purdy took his job, but then Jimmy G got healthy, but Jimmy G was also performing poorly. He was throwing high, like in Jimmy G style.
And Brock threw two picks in the opener.
I would say they wanted to get rid of Jimmy G even before Brock Purdy
ever.
That is
true.
Like, they've been dying to get rid of this guy.
They like wouldn't let him in the meeting rooms and stuff, and then all of a sudden they had to bring him back. It was totally awkward.
Purdy took Lance's job, technically. Either way, So you're saying that all of a sudden he's hurt like a little turf toe and he's improbable, and all of a sudden you're advancing to Jimmy G?
No, what I'm going on here is that either you can blame Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for how the team is constructed with a quarterback like Brock Purdy, and I'll explain that in a second, or okay. You can blame Brock. So you can either blame the team who has not put a good enough offensive line in front of Brock Purdy. Call it what it is. Trent Williams is awesome. He's older. He's 37. Goes in the lineup a little bit. And Brock Purdy, this was on a scramble. Would he be scrambling so much? Would he be having to scramble if the offensive line was holding up a little bit better? We'll see about that. So that's team building. And the second part is Purdy, which at some point it does become incumbent on the quarterback themselves to protect themselves. It's not Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen, and by the way, as a Bills fan, I don't like when Josh Allen does this, but he's as big as some of the linebackers out there, it feels like, and he doles out the punishment.
Go Bills.
Brock Purdy's not that guy. He is athletic. He is more athletic than we think. I'll give him that for sure. More athletic than Mac Jones. But he's not big. And so if you don't slide and if you don't protect yourself, at some point going for the extra yards and trying to be the tough guy, it's great. It will win over the fan base at the beginning. But if you're not available and then you put the team at risk, we talk about this all the time, Prof. It's like when quarterbacks have to get a little more mature and a little bit smarter, you do have to start protecting yourself. And I don't think Brock Purdy has shown he can do that yet. Either unwilling or he doesn't want to. I don't know.
How many games does he miss?
Well, he's missed one. It's not about that, but he does play hurt a lot.
I mean, last year it wasn't him playing hurt. It was the rest of the team playing hurt. He was probably nicked up a couple times. I disagree with the line thing. What are you talking? They pay more a tackle than any team in the league.
But do they have the right guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Trent Williams. They just re-signed McKivitz. They like him.
I know, but
everyone loves Dominic Pooney.
And he's also been a little bit banged up already. But here's the thing. Are you putting the money in the right places? I'm not saying Trent Williams. But
well, what's wrong with McKivitz?
Is he good?
I don't know.
Kyle
Shanahan just signed him to a 3-year, $45 million deal. So I'm assuming, yeah, he's probably pretty good.
You just mentioned not a minute, 2 minutes ago, that Christian McCaffrey and they were having all this trouble running the ball.
It's because he's washed.
Is he? They gave him to him 30 times. I mean,
I don't know. He's.
You're making my point.
I saw Jordan Mason with a little more pop week one. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, listen, McCaffrey used in the pass game too. So he's so versatile.
He's an incredible slot receiver, and he probably will pick up his running game. But yeah, that was a brutal game. Also, they were so predictable on offense.
Yeah.
Both teams were trying to run it down each other's throat the entire game. So you're right. It was week one. I don't know. I can't. But all of a sudden, we're blaming the line here. This is, to me, a new narrative on San Francisco. Like, is it because it's too small or is it because the line isn't good? You have to choose, I think.
Well, I don't know. I think it could be a bad combination of both, which is where you find yourself now with San Francisco at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Is it the offensive line has not been holding up? Is it Mac Jones, is it Brock Purdy needs to figure out a way to protect himself and not go out there and be the hero who gets the extra yard all the time but slides? There's no, like, shame in sliding and protecting yourself because, again, he's not a really big guy. And sometimes he can get hurt in the pocket like he did he got hurt in the pocket, I think, against Hassan Reddick, right, in that NFC Championship game. Sometimes you get hurt in the pocket where someone blows an assignment or whatever, or you go out and scramble in the open field and you're going to expose yourself like he did, and now he's got turf toe and he's going to miss potentially several weeks. So I don't know. I think if you're the 49ers, if you're a 49er fan, you're probably saying in the short term, we can be okay because of the Saints, but you do worry about the long term of Brock Purdy being your guy and he's already hurt now week one and he has no trade clause. I had forgotten that about Brock Purdy's contract, Pearl. Five years, $265 million and a no trade. Why did they do that?
Who's trading for Brock Purdy of $50 million a year?
No, but we always talk about Kyle Shanahan and how he could win with anybody. And the whole the master plan is actually at some point have Kirk Cousins there or whatever. All the people that Kyle like covets and the people he loves. Why would you give Brock Purdy a no trade clause? Why would you leave yourself a little flexibility?
These zero people in a million years are trading for $50 million. If Kyle Shanahan falls out of love with a $50 million Brock Purdy, you think another team's like, well, I want to take that guy for that. That's like trading for Dak Prescott. That would never happen.
I'm just saying, it's a little surprising, is it not, that he even has that?
No, it's totally, at that price for quarterbacks, it's totally irrelevant because no one's trading for a beat up Brock Purdy, as you did just describe. That would never happen. I think the rest of the league is like, whoa, they're paying that guy that much money. I don't think he would ever be traded. But yeah, let me ask you this question. What worries you more, all the other injuries in San Francisco or the Brock Purdy injuries? When I say the other injuries, I mean Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Juwan Jennings, and probably Ricky Pearsall is not a big guy either. I mean, he's taking some big hits. Like, which would be more worried? To me, it's the rest of the Niners I'm worried about. I'm even less worried about Purdy because they do have this rash of injuries thing.
Yeah, they do. How about in our chat already up and running? Come join us. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNet, where Drunkle Sam, one of our faves, says, Big Mac, no special sauce.
Ouch. About Mac Jones?
Yeah. Am I most worried about? I'm probably worried about Purdy, quite frankly, because that's the biggest investment you've made. You know, not just for the short term, but also for the long term. Like, you chose Purdy. He's your guy. And so with him having turf toe, I know we look at it, it's like, just a toe. I think turf toe is extremely painful from what I've heard from professional athletes. It's really painful and it lingers. Your feet are everything when you're
Deion's
an athlete.
Issues with his feet, I think, started with turf toe.
Yeah, my former co-host Bart Scott had to retire off of turf toe. Like, he had an offer from Seattle, would have continued his career and couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me so much. Again, I keep going back. This is like 2019 all over again. Jimmy G's a mess. They paid him this massive, massive deal. He wins 5 games after the trade with the Patriots, and they make him one of the highest paid quarterbacks. And somehow, it never really paid off, and still they've been to 5 NFC title games. Or is it 5? Let's see. 1, 2, 4. 4 NFC title games.
Yeah.
So I just think that everybody is writing off the Niners too soon to me. And by the way, Brock Purdy could have injuries all along. And if you say the Niners are not going to have success over the next, say, 4 years, I think that's a mistake. I mean, look at how many guys we're talking about. They have survived more injuries and are still probably going to go 2-0. Probably. That's a big probably.
Yeah. Again, they got helped here with this easy schedule. And it's not just about the opponents, too. It's about, because obviously they have to play their own division, but it's about like the lack of the really difficult travel. You know, they don't have to go across country a lot. I don't know if they even do. I got to pull the schedule. But it's not just about the strength of schedule. It's also like the travel, rest, few short weeks, that kind of stuff. So they're getting helped out in a lot of different ways.
I'd also like to see them like return to where they were 4 years ago, where they were the number one defense in the league. And not only were they number one, they were scaring people. They were hitting people. I think you saw a little of that in week one. That might be a function of the Seahawks offense being bad. I think defense could win a bunch of games here. I mean, realistically, let's face it. We always talk about the future Hall of Famers, Nick Bosa and Fred Warner.
Yep.
But I think they have a good eye for defensive talent. There might be young guys who come up. Obviously, the rookie, Mikel Williams. They could honestly go 10-7 on defense alone here with this schedule, Maggie. So, I am not writing off the Niners, even with my guy, Mac Jones. And that's a pretty good pun about the Big Mac. I'll give you that.
That was pretty good, right? Big Mac, no special
sauce. He's going to look, by the way, he's probably going to look bad this week because who is he throwing to? And they're not going to let McCaffrey touch the ball 400 times again like last week.
Are you sure?
I hope not.
I think they go into the game maybe with a plan like, we should try to do the X, Y, and Z. And then you find yourself in a 1-score game. Yeah. Last week, it's week one, yes, but it is a division game. And the Rams look, you know, the defense looks really good. So,
I think they might.
All of a sudden, it's like Kyle Shanahan, who's the play caller, is finding himself in a dogfight of a game, and Christian McCaffrey is your best option.
Maybe Brian Robinson just got there. They work him in a little more, the backup running back. They do need, I think McCaffrey would probably wear down. He had 31 touches in week one.
It's a lot.
it's a lot. The run game was tough. It felt like he was about to break a couple and couldn't quite get there. They're not facing a lot of good offenses moving ahead. If you look at the results of week one, there is not anybody who really had a great offensive game on their schedule for the first half of the season. A lot of teams that struggled.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Can the 49ers hold the fort with Mac Jones? And is San Francisco already regretting the Purdy contract? Again, 5 years, $265 million, $53 million a year. Which sounds like a lot, but, you know, that's kind of on par with upper echelon quarterbacks in the league.
Not even. I mean, he'll be really close to the middle before by next May, he'll be, what, the 12th highest paid quarterback?
Yeah, it just seems interesting for Kyle Shanahan. I get it. You went to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. You had a lead in overtime in the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. Like, you're not just going to throw him out. This is a big, you know, it's an amazing achievement to get this from Mr. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think that Mac Jones can come in and be good, if everyone thinks that you can basically put five or six different guys in this system and you would basically have the same output, then why did you pay Purdy?
I mean, we are seeing a live experiment about the debate that's been going on for decades, the system quarterback debate. I mean, you're not really going to see it this week. I'm going to defend in advance, defending my guy, Mac Jones. He has no one to throw to. It's probably going to be a very conservative game, but this is the system quarterback debate. Can anybody sling it under Kyle Shanahan? The other thing, too, we know about Kyle Shanahan falling in and out of love. I mean, he's a guy who is like, he is a serial bachelor when it comes to quarterbacks. He will definitely fall out of love with Brock Purdy.
He's like a serial monogamist? Those people who just are chronic daters?
No, but
like a boyfriend guy?
No.
He's not a player.
I think he is. I think he'll cheat on his quarterback.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
not serial monogamy.
He cheated on Trey Lance. He cheated on Jimmy G. I mean, if you cheat on Jimmy G, the most handsome man in the NFL,
by the way, player. I'm, you know, not to be shallow, but what am I kidding? That's what we do on the show. I think Jimmy G does not have the torch for the best-looking guy in the league anymore.
Best-looking
quarterback.
Okay.
It's another guy who's a backup. And I think he came.
Sam Hartman.
Yeah, he took his lunch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks, though?
Just quarterbacks.
Who's the best looking player in the NFL, period?
I'm not sure about that.
Saquon.
Probably do a deep dive. Saquon's probably up there. Jalen Hurts.
The ladies love Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen's a good
in the quarterback division. Jalen Hurts definitely up there. But it's like Sam Hartman's world now.
Jalen Hurts wearing the backward Kangol hat all the time? I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a great look.
You don't know. I'm saying women who talk to me and online, no. It doesn't matter what you think.
The Kangol look.
It's the women.
It's a rough look with the Kangol. But
I mean, did you guys know the new NFL float? See, have you guys seen the NFL float commercial?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you had to wear the hat in that one. Come on, dude.
You know,
our representative is the Rizzler. Are you kidding me?
I was so excited about that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
I worry for that kid.
I worry for the Giants.
Worry
he's
slash
fine.
Worship
he's,
that kid.
He's got money. I'm worried about me.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Rizzler. Anyway. Hope his parents are saving that money. But here's the thing about Jalen Hurts in the backwards Kangol hat. He's definitely trying to make it his signature look. And I'm not going to kill him for this because everyone loves everything about the 90s again. We talk about this all the time. All that 90s stuff is totally back. Mm-hmm. What do you think they were wearing in the 90s, guys? Backwards Kangol hats.
Here's my thing about Jalen Hurts. It's not
rough then.
It's not the looks. It's not the hat. It's his personality. Like, he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he gives you nothing. Like, he's the most unapproachable personality in the entire NFL, I believe. Like, do you really know anything about Jalen Hurts?
But that's okay.
I mean, I mean, it's fine. It's just like he is. He's incredibly reserved. I've noticed. Like, people are like, I think that's why he's not considered a top five quarterback. He's like nobody. You can't get a hold of him.
But I don't know much about Lamar Jackson. I don't know much about Kyler Murray. I don't know much about some of these other guys.
Kyler Murray?
I know he likes video games. Like, that's...
God, we know day to day. We know out of 24-hour span everything Kyler Murray does.
We knew he had diarrhea before the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
he
not like knowing his personality.
He posted a picture of the Mexican meal. Kyler Murray is like also a very quiet person, but Jalen is like got a force field around him. He always has. That's why I think that's why he doesn't do it.
I'd do that too if I was the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, but look at Josh Allen.
I don't
want
any of you crazies coming up in my life criticizing me. You know what it's like in Philadelphia. You guys are just waiting to turn on the quarterback. I wonder if Donovan McNabb probably told him, hey, you should probably just like live in some kind of fortress. Like, don't let anybody in. It's the fan base. You guys are merciless. He's in a fishbowl. I get it.
I think that's Hurts, though. I think he could have been anywhere. Yeah, because even at Alabama, he was. I mean, he was a freshman that was like a freshman going on seventh year senior in terms of his attitude. Like he's a
wise beyond his years guy.
Yeah,
QB Alabama.
He's just an interesting dude. Not interesting in terms of I care a lot about him, but interesting in that like he's different than most young people.
Well, like, what do you know about Jordan Love? He's going to play tonight, by the way, against the Commanders.
That's a good looking dude.
Jordan Love's
a very handsome man.
Those guys are all open books compared. I mean, and by the way, Lamar is like the warmest person. Like, Lamar basically is on a massive hug tour across USA.
Jalen Hurts. Is he married? Does he have kids?
No, I don't think so.
You don't know anything about him. It's
yeah,
like,
but Lamar has just got an energy like, love me. And Jalen Hurts is like, stay away from me.
Well, Aaron Rodgers set the bar now, a new bar for
a little bit too old to watch cars, but anyway.
What we know about Aaron Rodgers is like so unbelievable.
I think he's a bum.
That he brought a camera crew along with him to Costa Rica while he goes on a psychedelic trip.
With a lot of love.
You will never get more access than that.
Well, don't be a freaking weirdo.
Yeah, that's the extreme. But you're telling me Josh Allen doesn't let access into his life? The guy's everywhere. He's everywhere.
It's so curated, though.
A little bit.
Is it? He was telling jokes with the Bussin' with the Boys guy about how he quit drinking for 11 years. and then he turned 12.
Yes!
There's not that curated, Maggie.
Yeah, he'd be out everywhere in New York City when the off-season hits. It's like, Haley's like, off-season's over? Yeah. All right, Soho tomorrow.
F1 race? I'm there.
Yeah, he's out here. And in a way, Hurts isn't. Which I kind of appreciate.
No, it hurts.
From Hurts.
Our buddy, quarterback trader Quincy Avery, coached Hurts at Elite 11 in high school, and he was like, Hurts was not a big recruit. And he actually said, who's this old guy amongst, like, what's he doing here? Like, he's like looks like a fifth-year senior in college. He's always been just different. You know, his dad's a coach, super, super disciplined. Hurts is not easy to know. Handsome, obviously. Dashing, Robert! I would even say. But Jimmy G's just like a man candy. I would like you to tell him to his face he's not the most handsome quarterback.
I mean, you know, it's not that. It's just he's got the Clooney, Brad Pitt, like he's a classic, you know? James Dean, may he rest in peace. But Hartman is
hair.
Here. Hartman's live and in color.
Hartman should be a model.
He's probably better at that than quarterback.
Can he play?
Who knows? Who cares, Manny?
He looks like the kid in Vampire Diaries. If anyone's kids have watched the show, he looks exactly like that actor.
Yeah, let me go talk to my 4-year-old.
You were probably Vampire Diaries. That was in your wheelhouse, I think.
Yeah, I feel like you would have watched that.
Who?
Oh, Vampire Diaries? You don't know about this?
No, you're not familiar. I was watching SpongeBob and Drake and Josh like a normal 13-year-old.
You're not familiar with the work of Nina Dobrev?
Who?
Get on it, brother. Get on it.
Even I know Nina. Sheesh, Manny. 888-710-4ISN.
Should I follow her on Instagram?
888.
Okay, good to know.
710-4476. All right, that got a little sidetracked, but it's an important conversation. Not as important as Brock Purdy, who's going to miss multiple weeks, we think, with the turf toe. Very unlikely to play against the Saints. Mac Jones' experience starts immediately. Starting to get worried about Brock Purdy, especially the contract. And can Mac Jones keep this thing afloat? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got a great Thursday night game. I'm psyched about this. Washington Commanders traveling to Lambeau. We've got a question about those quarterbacks coming up next. M&P.
Go, Pack, go!
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. So we have office controversy once again. Once again, Maggie Gray.
What did I do?
Doesn't know the rules.
Doesn't know. I just think
the
it's
rules.
I just think she has this tendency to not include everybody in things. Like, for example, she goes on vacation, won't tell Manny where she's going.
That was a miscommunication.
There are a lot of miscommunications when it comes to being a team player, Maggie.
That's Pearl does air quotes with his fingers. And yes. I agree, by the way.
But that was implied when I said miscommunications. You could hear the air quotes in my intonation.
Yeah, sure.
So, Maggie. We decided to do a survivor pool. Maggie sends out the original email. Everybody responds with their pick for the week. Except one person who sits right outside here, Billy, did not respond.
Right.
Did you follow up and say, hey, we're doing the survivor pool? No.
Is that on me? We're all adults. It was just when I walked in today, when I realized, like, I doubted myself, like, did I forget to put Billy on the email?
I'd
never forget Billy, but did I forget this time to put him on the email? And I was like, Billy, would you like to be in our survivor pool? Kaplan's already out because he inexplicably took the Saints last week, telling us he really didn't want to participate in the survivor pool, which is fine. Cap's busy.
Came pretty close to winning that one, but
actually, that's a good point. And then EJ would have been out because he took the Cardinals.
Cap almost still accidentally out, won.
Yeah, it's like his worst nightmare. But I was like, man, I started to doubt myself. So like, Billy, would you like to participate in our survivor pool? Forgetting I actually did put him on the email.
Yeah.
And then he said, I don't know. I was like, well, there's no money and there's also no prizes. So yeah. There's nothing at stake.
Pride. There's pride.
So yeah. His answer was?
It was kind of. Now, here's the thing.
But then Bogus jumps in. He's like, no, you can't be in it. Yeah. It's already week two.
Bogus was right.
I included him on the original email. Yeah. I just forgot because he didn't respond.
So Billy, the fault on Billy is not responding and not being and not saying no.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. It's not a mandate.
And this from you starts at a nice place to be inclusive and have Billy part of this. So I get that. But again, these are the rules. Yeah. He missed week one. Whoever is to blame for week one, he can't jump in week two unless, and I'll present this to the room.
Okay.
All right.
What if Billy wants to be in, Billy has to make two correct picks this week to survive into week three with the rest of us.
Seems fair to me.
Does he even want to participate?
That's inconclusive.
So we'll now he's got to double down. He doesn't want to do it in the first place. Now you got to make two picks instead of one.
Well, I think
it's like a punishment.
I think his initial hesitation was he did not want to give any money towards something.
Yeah, there's no money.
No. And there's no punishment as well. There's no danger in losing.
We haven't decided that.
Oh.
You didn't tell him that.
Here's again, Maggie, not knowing the rules.
I said there's no prizes.
No, and then you said there's no punishment. You said that. You said both ends.
I thought I said there's no money and there's no prize.
No, you said and there's no like negative to, I don't remember what the words were, but you said there's also no, like, there's no penalty for losing.
Yeah, I think that was the word. There was no penalty for losing, I think was how it was said.
All right, I might have to go back to the tape on that one.
My favorite part of this is Maggie is so prone to guilt. Like, I could care less if Billy was in the survivor pool or not. Care 0.0%. Maggie runs to her computer. I think he was on the email. I would never do that.
Which address did I use?
Who cares?
Well,
he doesn't even care.
I know.
Not even a little bit.
This is like a man-woman thing, right? Like, I want everyone to feel included. You guys just have different pressure points than me. Like, if I forget a friend's birthday or something, you don't understand. It's like a cardinal sin.
Oh,
you guys could care less.
Yeah, I got next year to make it up for. You
know? Maggie,
it's a different man woman thing.
Is it possible that you're just insane?
You're
like, it's
possible.
A man woman thing. I don't know a lot of women who care if Billy's in the survivor pool.
We asked 100 women on the street, do you care if Billy's in the survivor pool? Call Kelly.
Yeah, sometimes you go into panics over a friend's birthday. He's like, I can tell you right now, that friend is not thinking about whether you wish them happy birthday or not. They do not care.
Yeah.
They probably are just playing on your guilt. Stop. Yeah, just let it go. Screw Billy. We're not even going to let him in.
Well,
he's
out. He didn't respond. So.
Well, actually, Bogues' idea of let him pick two games this week, it kind of catches him up.
I don't think he wants to do it.
He doesn't because he also goes,
I really don't.
Do I have to get both right? I'm like, yes, Billy.
Do I have to get both right?
You'd have to get both
yeah,
right.
Yeah, if he goes 1-1, he's still okay.
Listen, it was everyone within arm's length of the show. That's what we decided. Billy's sitting out there, arm's length.
Can we talk about the actual survivor pool? Who's going Cowboys? 13 straight for Dak over the Giants?
Couldn't be me.
I mean, I know you don't want to do the Cowboys, but the Giants, they haven't beaten them in like 15 years. Like, this
is
crazy.
Let's relax a little bit. But, you know, I may be, you know, dipping my toe in the water. We'll find out a little bit later. But I might just go against the Giants.
The Cowboys, here's another stat. They've gone 14 straight seasons without going 0-2. Mostly because they play the Giants in the first 2 weeks every year. And sure. Dak has won 13 straight over the
that's
Giants.
Translated to Lombardi trophies.
I'm just saying, it just seems like this is one of those matchups where all logic's out the window and Dallas always beats the Giants. So anyway, but I don't.
So why don't you pick?
Well, because I don't want to go into the survivor pool with a Micah Parsons-less Cowboys in week two. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I thought they looked good in Philadelphia on Thursday.
Their offense looked really good.
Yeah.
Now Deron Bland's out.
Mm-hmm. Just paid him a lot of
money. It's not an easy week. Then the other one, the biggest spread is the Ravens over the Browns.
Yeah.
But we know what happens when the Browns play AFC North teams. And the Ravens always drop an early season game. Always.
Well, they just did.
Yeah.
They dropped the opener.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, to a team they should lose to. Yeah. So
I don't know. It's an 11.5-point spread, and Joe Flacco didn't exactly look like gangbusters.
Joe Flacco looked pretty good.
I didn't see it.
He threw two picks, right?
Yeah. He looked good until he didn't.
Yeah, both those picks were not on him. PFF, I'm sure, did not grade it badly on this throw.
Is this the kind of thing, though, for a survivor pool where you just do the obvious? Like, are the Panthers just the team you bet against every week? Is it just that simple? Like, they have to travel to Arizona to play the Cardinals. The Cardinals will mess with you every which way. They are a tough team to bet on. But
yeah, in week two, do you feel good going to the Cardinals?
Well, do I think the Panthers are going cross country and beating anybody?
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
Anyway.
After last week, you can't feel easy about any of these picks because every game was close.
That's true. Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest and greatest headlines for us. What's up?
These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME.
It's going to be Eli.
And get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. For restrictions and details.
Caden's off the chain.
It'll cost you a lot of money this fall, winter, and spring to watch the Knicks have a great regular season and then make an early playoff exit. You've got your local cable bill, plus Amazon, plus Peacock, and maybe something else. Adam Silver was asked yesterday about the high cost of being an NBA fan these days.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport, you know, so... You know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there, YouTube, by another example, that is advertising based that consumers can consume.
So hundreds of millions of dollars and I shouldn't watch your games on those places?
What commissioner in the world is like, nah, I don't watch the games, just check the highlights?
I feel like I said that Silver was... No, incompetent and not fit to be commissioner. All of you were like, "Oh, come on, EJ! Oh, come on!"
Yeah, he had been popular for a long time.
I know, yeah. Right? And that long time was a long time ago.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing: like, you just to Bogus' point too. If you're a partner, you just paid all this money to get these games, and he's like, "Ah, screw Amazon, just get the highlights.
Just go to sleep and wake up in the morning and watch highlights."
Honestly, there's this one guy on YouTube, I forgot his name, who just does the full 5 minutes of every NBA game on YouTube.
Yeah.
Lifesaver, this dude.
Well, I understand this because I have a lot of friends who defend the NBA. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of debate. The ratings are falling, but everyone's like, well, it doesn't matter. The ratings, that's an old man way to look at the sport because all the kids watch it on YouTube and they're brag about that. So Adam Silver's bought that narrative. Like, the ratings are falling. Who cares? They're watching it on YouTube. So that's like that's the defense of NBA's ratings falling, that people are consuming it elsewhere. I've heard it a million times.
Yeah, but you don't make the same kind of advertising money off of digital highlights that you do off of live games. That's why everyone wants live games, because the advertising is the only place left for them really to go.
But I think the NBA defenders say it speaks to the sport's popularity. Young kids like to watch the highlights. That being said, they don't care. They're collecting that money and buying yachts with the Amazon money. They could care less about that deal now that it's done. Silver's not going to be commissioner when they have to come up with a new deal. What does he care?
Remember when it was rumored that he was going to take over Disney?
I wish he would have.
But that being said, what's he doing wrong? Like,
how much time he got?
What's the big thing?
All-Star Game's terrible.
There's a little on the players.
Yeah, well, he's the commissioner. What do we want to talk about? You want to talk about the falling ratings? You want to talk about the lack of the 3-point line and people having upset with that? I mean, I can go on for years.
In-season tournament. That's him.
I always say it's the one thing I think that is actually smart. Everything else he's done has been a terrible commissioner. This is stupid. I don't know how anyone could look at this comment being like, you know what? It actually doesn't matter that our fans watch our games. And then they are concerned about why fans don't know anything about basketball when they talk about it. Or people in the media don't know anything about basketball. It's like, this guy. Okay. I can't believe it.
See, and now I don't accept the in-season tournament as a plus for him. But I have almost the same thought as EJ, because what's the thing he's done since getting rid of Donald Sterling, which should have been done already, which was a no-brainer? He lived off of that from day one of his tenure. And since, like, what's the big innovation with the big decision, the big thought since then?
Well, he really is hired to make money for the league.
Yeah,
which
the biggest success of all time.
Roger Goodell probably, but like, he is making money for the league, I would say, number one. Number two, I mean, the second apron, where you are penalizing teams for spending a lot, I understand it, and I get why they put that in there. Now, the unintended consequences is you don't have super teams anymore, but that's kind of depend on who you talk to. Some people didn't like the fact that Kevin Durant joined the 73-win Warriors or whatever. Like, like there's a case to be made on both sides. I'm defending Adam Silver. I don't know why, but
I don't either.
But there was a thought process behind the second apron that you could actually understand. Like some people did not want the super teams joining up.
Right, but is that was he the only person capable of thinking of that and implement and getting it implemented?
And also, was that the right solution?
It might not have been.
To me, it looks like it clearly wasn't.
So explain to me then, why is the league more valuable than it's ever been? Billy Jack alone could have taken the NFL to $25 billion. Like, Roger Goodell is just a puppet. He's totally meaningless. I mean, explain to me why the league is more valuable than it's ever been.
Live games are king. Anybody that can get a live game, they will pay whatever money to do it. We're seeing it with almost every league is getting, almost except
for baseball. But I think NBA's blown, for what NBA is worth and what NBA got, I think NBA is killing the other
leagues. But look at what MLS got a great TV deal. WNBA got a great TV deal. I mean, everyone wants live games. Yeah. No one wants to spend the money to produce programming.
Original and for advertisers, it's better. And betting.
Exactly. It's just, I think that's the way to go. That's why the SEC and the Big Ten and all these, they could just name their number. It's never going to matter because ESPN and Fox and those places, they need that live action so they can get that advertising money. I think it's simple.
I mean, we've had commissioners who've hidden concussion things.
Data. And
we've had so many bad commissioners. Like, I don't know, Silver, like, because the All-Star game sucks? Like,
it's not because of
All-Star.
I mean,
the All-Star game is going to be awful no matter who the commissioner was.
That's one thing I mentioned, but there's a bunch of other things we could talk about with Adam Silver. He's been a bad commissioner. I don't know. This idea that he's been doing great and that this is the one thing. Yeah. His players are complaining that they're going through mental health crises, and he seems to have no answer how to fix that. You got players that are betting on games and being put in gambling investigations, and he's taking gambling money. We don't talk about that. How much time do we have?
No, but I mean you have to be reactive. What is he going to? You put the rules in place. You're not supposed to gamble like Jonte Porter. You can't gamble on your own games. You can't be taking yourself out of games to help other bettors. All that stuff. Like, all he can do is react to that. No, at some point the players have to take a little responsibility. He's not the police. He's a commissioner.
Well, I mean, he's not the police, but I mean, what do we think of as a commissioner, right? Aren't you the judge, jury, and whatever? We've talked about Roger Goodell.
Yeah, but Jonte Porter, he kicked out of the league for life. Like, it's not like he's allowing this stuff to happen. They caught him, and that was it.
NBA,
he's out.
Is NBA and all these leagues not embraced gambling and embraced live betting? They have.
Right, but he's the one who actually led the way on that, which led to more money for the players.
Right, and the players can't stand this. They can't stand dealing with people who are DMing them every day, being like, bro, you missed on my over and under, or having to have the conversation. I mean, like,
I get that,
we
can
talk about money, but...
Well, that's the thing, though. If you go to the players and say to them, listen, I understand people are heckling you because of over-unders or what have you, but we can say goodbye to FanDuel and DraftKings and all of that, but you guys are going to have to give back money. We're all going to make less. It's going to be less part of the pie. I guarantee the players will say, all right, we'll deal with it. It's their, you know.
I don't know. I see LeBron taking that DraftKings money and having no problem with it.
I'm just saying.
He's got a terrible TV product, by the way. I got to watch NBA Finals games with 2-minute halftime reports. And
oh, my God.
This guy's awful.
EJ, you love the NBA.
Yeah,
you're all into it. So
I mean, and you always talk about how bad it is. I don't know why you're defending this guy. I'm surprised that we're.
I just don't like. I don't like that they
many like that one.
I hate that they call those fouls on Harden and Luka. Like, just stop calling the hand fouls. So I hate the foul merchanting. That's not really on him.
It's also not on him that there was a 3-point revolution. I mean,
we say these things, but again, he controls the rules of the game. Like, if people are going to be complaining about how the game's being played with foul merchanting, all these 3-pointers, like when people complained about things in the 90s, guess what? David Stern changed the rules so you couldn't be as physical. So we weren't having games 70-85 against the Heat and the New York Knicks. Like, you actually, as a commissioner, this guy sits around and acts like things just happened to him. He's like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, when we had a commissioner before that was actually.
Okay.
Trying to do things to help the NBA.
Well, there was also, but David Stern wasn't perfect either.
I'm not saying it was perfect, but I mean, but the other part, I would take him in a heartbeat over this guy.
Well, but the other part too is it's just a different kind of style. David Stern was unilaterally, he would act like the owners worked for him.
And he was paid by the players, right?
But that's not this is not how that works, right?
Yeah, the commissioner actually works for the owners. Everyone hated Stern.
Right. Like, I think that David Stern ruled with an iron fist and was all about intimidation and was all about, and, you know, Adam Silver is not that same way. It's just a difference in style. Like, he's not just going to universally, he's going to check with people. He's going to do diligence. Like, I don't know if you just don't like the style. Like, he can change anything at any time, and he has. How many times have they changed the All-Star game? A million, trying to get the guys to care about it. Like, it's not like he's rigid. It's not like, you know.
They changed
the rules about, so Trae Young can't be foul, can't be like, you know, trying to draw fouls, and James Harden, now it's gone a different way with Shea does it.
Right.
Constantly tweaking.
So we keep hearing about things that he's done that apparently are, you know, trying to address these things, yet we're still having issues with all of them. So that suggests there's no effectiveness.
EJ, no one knows what a catch is in the NFL. Does anyone say to Roger Goodell, get off your fat ass? I mean,
Roger Goodell takes a bunch of shrapnel.
I know, but he makes so much money for the league that the owners are going to keep him there. Wait,
right,
so
the owners like him, sure.
We got to take a break.
It doesn't help me.
Okay. 888-710-4ISN. Sorry, we got to take a quick break on this one. Weigh in. We have more reporting on the Clippers stuff with Steve Ballmer from Pablo Torre. We'll get to that. And tonight's Thursday night football game, Packers, Commanders, MVP. Woo!
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, lots of football for you today, but we diverge into basketball for a second because the Steve Ballmer, Kawhi Leonard scandal, Pearl, whether or not they were circumventing the salary cap, is front and center with the NBA owners meetings now happening in New York. And we actually had another piece of sound that caught our ear, which was Adam Silver being asked about the rising cost for fans to have to watch every game. Cause you know, you got to get this platform and that platform and you got to buy everything. And he said, well, don't worry about it. Don't even watch the games. You can just catch the highlights on YouTube is essentially what he said yesterday. It got us into a discussion about whether Adam Silver is actually a good commissioner or not. D is in Portland. D, Adam Silver, good commissioner, bad commissioner?
No, he's not good. He's too friendly with the players, and the product is just bad. I've been watching the NBA since 98, I believe. Go Blazers. But it's just bad. ESPN does a bad job. Lots of commercials that I don't care for.
Right.
The halftime show is like, they're like speed running it, trying to get to, I don't know, dinner or someplace.
Adam Silver is not the production coordinator or the producer on the show. The NBA has one of the greatest shoulder programming shows in the history of television. In Inside the NBA. Now, you may not like it. The players may not like that Shaq and Charles and Kenny are too, can be harsh on them, can be critical on them. But that is a commercial and critical success inside the NBA. What ESPN does, ESPN ponied up, like, for the money. Adam Silver is not going to get in their production meeting and say Malika Andrews needs to throw it to someone faster. Or whatever. I don't know what you guys want Adam Silver to have editorial control.
They're media. They're partners. They're a little media partner in the NBA. They work with the NBA.
Okay, so but you want him to? What do you want him to do? Say I don't want Zach Lowe on the set. Like what?
Again, you want to compare the NFL will run someone off that they don't like in a millisecond. Or they will change production or how something is going in a millisecond.
Okay, but
this idea that Adam Silver is just this like helpless lamb that just allows terrible things to happen to the NBA.
But EJ, the ESPN pregame and halftime shows were bad under David Stern. So
by the way,
that's an ESPN problem inside the NBA. I know you guys don't like you don't like how critical the older players are for the younger players. But a lot of people do watch it. That's just a matter of taste. That's not something that Adam Silver is going to necessarily get involved in. And you don't know, maybe he does. Maybe he does say to Shaq, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? And they might say, bleep off. He can't fire someone on TNT's payroll. It's called tortious interference, guys. It's freaking legal. Adam Silver cannot get anybody fired on who is being paid by a different company. I'm just telling you what the real life of this is.
You don't think the NFL and any other league has any say in the people that are being hired or fired by their media partners?
EJ, that's fine. But ESPN also did they shuffled out tons of people on the NBA set. They fired a lot of ESPN, got rid of a lot of guys. And they're changing stuff around. Doris Burke is out. Tim Legler is in. They're constantly tweaking stuff. Maybe Adam Silver is behind some of this. But wait, you don't know.
Good decision by Silver.
EJ, terrible things. That's an overstatement. I mean, these are like the halftime show having too many commercials. It's not a terrible thing. It's like
the NBA Finals. If you have no
If you have
no analysis of the NBA, of your most important games of the season, and no one can talk about the actual games because they got to watch 5 minutes of highlights, that is not good for the league. That
EJ,
is terrible.
You need more Stephen A. talk? I mean, you have 23 hours of it on that channel.
It doesn't have to be Stephen A. It could be anybody. That's my point. It's like, it's this idea that, again, that Adam Silver, that we have these terrible things with the NBA, but none of this is Adam Silver's fault. It's literally everyone else's fault. It's either the players or it's the media partners.
Adam Silver can get involved in the business side of stuff. I just find it a little hard to believe that he's going to go to ESPN and say, I don't want, you know, Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson on the games anymore, which, by the way, they're gone. They brought in Richard Jefferson, Doris Burke. Like, ESPN has to have some editorial control over what they want to do. Adam Silver's not going to get involved and micromanage that. Why would he? He's making $75 billion on their media rights tour. Criticize them all you want, but criticize them for the right things. That's my point.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.